Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
And welcome to Fritz and Friends, the Monday edition. Cheryl Fritz here along with producer Scott Eckersley coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Senator Arlen Meekhoff, a Republican from West Olive, the west side of the state. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Wanted to get a hold of you ran across an article that tasers may be legal in the state as of this summer if things go through as they're intended. And you had first brought up the taser issue, bill on tasers, back in 2008. It is back again. Senator Rick Jones is working it this time. But I knew you had quite a background in this, so I wanted to speak with you. Why the importance of tasers and why the timing now?
Well, when I first became interested in it, it was because a number of folks said they weren't comfortable carrying a deadly force weapon, but they would like something that would still give them protection and a space distance between them and a proposed attacker or something like that. And the mace wasn't where they wanted to go. So I began to look at what tasers were available, and they are not available to the general public here in Michigan, but they are available to 43 other states. Citizens can walk up to the counter and buy them over the counter.
Aha. And how is it working in those other states? I'm sure when you do some background before you introduce a bill, you check into some of those things. And what was the experience that you ran into in these other states?
The experiences have been overwhelming because they've actually become a little niche business where folks have turned like their Tupperware business, only now they turned it into a taser business. They actually have taser parties and show people the correct usage and how to purchase them and how to purchase the recharging things and so on. So that it's become a mini economic boom for a new product, and it's very unique.
And I'm guessing that is all good. And when you talk about it's been overwhelming, I assume you mean it's been overwhelmingly good. And what kind of have you run into any problems as you were going through this process?
No. Well, there were some law enforcement folks that were a little bit hesitant because they didn't want it used on them. And I said, well, I think you would probably rather have someone make a mistake with that than they would a deadly force weapon. And they did agree on that.
I would assume so as well. Why did it kind of drop off back from 2008? It just wasn't a priority at the time for the legislature, or were there other issues that came up?
It wasn't a priority at the time. We were going through some very difficult budget times, and we looked at it this time, thought, well, maybe the timing is right. We can do what we can chew gum and walk at the same time. We can do a couple of things, and we believe it can move forward after it has a public hearing.
And who's looking at tasers? In your experience, again, from when you first introduced the bill, what were the groups or the people who were looking at carrying tasers? Were there some more anxious for it than others?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. We found that when we began speaking in public about this, or actually introducing in 2007, a number of groups came forward I thought were unique. It was older women who were home either by themselves or frequently by themselves who, again, never want a deadly force weapon in their house in case there's an accident with a grandchild. The second group, which I thought was even more interesting, was fathers of college-age daughters. They wanted their college-age daughters to have one of these and not a gun. And I thought that was very, very interesting. And we had a lot of folks come forward and say, you tell us what we can do to help you get this done because I think it's an important safety measure for my daughter.
Well, and that is interesting as well. I have two college-age daughters, and they both have pepper spray on their key rings, in part. I mean, they're old enough now to carry a gun, but, you know, a taser, I have to tell you, is very interesting to me for them.
Certainly, because it's a defensive weapon. It's basically to incapacitate the attacker, and so you can get away. It's not to kill or maim or do anything other than give you the time to get out of the dangerous situation.
And the timing is interesting on these. In an article that I read preparing to talk to you, it talked about the difference between a civilian taser and a police issue taser. And the difference being the electrical charge speaks exactly to what you were just talking about, that a police taser a civilian taser has a 30-second charge, and the intent of that is to give the person who shoots it more time to get away, give the victim more time to get away.
That is correct. And the police tasers are a little bit stronger, and the intent is a little different there to make sure that they can subdue a suspect.
And the distance is important on these as well. The article that I read, a civilian model, there were 15 feet of wire, and a police model about 35 feet of wire. And I think it's important, since you're between the two of us, sir, you're the authority on tasers, to tell folks exactly what it does. There are two prongs that are shot from it?
Correct. It's very much like two toothpicks that would, as it shot, that would attach itself to the intended recipient, and they are the current that goes through their body is mild enough, but it also gives them a headache and very sore muscles for a day, and it's almost like you've worked out for an hour, and your muscles are expanding and contracting, and then it quits, and you're still sore from that, and that's the effect of it.
And again, it's simply to give the person who is going to be attacked, or it appears that way, give them time to get away from the assailant.
Correct, correct. And I think it's important to note here that we're asking people, if they want to carry a deadly force weapon, they go through the CCW class. Also, to carry a taser, we would want you to go through the CCW class. And the logic there is, if we trust you with a deadly force weapon and you're able to pass the background checks and the class, we certainly ought to be able to trust you with a less than lethal weapon.
And you led me. That was exactly where I was heading. I happen to have gotten my concealed pistol license in January of this year, and went through an extensive training and class in order to get that. And as you said, it would be the exact same thing. There would be class and training involved before being able to carry this.
That is correct.
And what does the timeline look like for this?
We believe sometime this summer we'll have completed hearings, and we hope to get that out on the floor in both houses to vote on and get it to the governor later this summer.
And in reading this article that was very well written, by the way, East Grand Rapids, the public safety director, Mark Harold, I wanted to try to find the police officer's opinion of this. And it seems everyone mentioned in this article that with law enforcement likes this idea.
Yeah, and they're a little hesitant because, again, like I said, they don't want to use on them, but they don't want any weapon used on them. And apparently, well, for the most part, if somebody's going to use a weapon on a cop, they're probably a bad person.
Well, and as you said earlier, if they're going to use one, they would prefer it be a taser than a pistol. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, it looks like it's interesting legislation. And, of course, Senator Rick Jones, with his law enforcement background and head of the judiciary, is a good one to help finally push this through. So that looks like things are good. Governor Rick Snyder was in your neck of the woods today. Any remarks or reaction on his comments today in Grand Rapids?
He made a presentation about local government and what kind of things they could do to earn some of the revenue sharing back, and it's very, very interesting. It was well received, and he also talked about removing some of the unfunded mandates that we actually put on local governments and making sure that we don't put burdens on them for which we're not also sending them the funds. I think that's just as important as how they earn back the revenue sharing, and it was well received.
Well, yeah, it sounded to me from the remarks that I read, it sounded like he's defining better what he intends for best practices to mean. So we're getting more detail now as to what comes next.
That's correct. And he's and I say this to every group that I meet with, he's always the smartest guy in the room. He has a plan, and he puts it in front of you, and he can explain it very, very well, and he's not talking over your head. And he's honestly trying to make a better Michigan. That's what he's all about.
Well, very good. Well, Senator, I appreciate your time this evening and help us going through this taser issue. I think it's interesting. I think it's a real good alternative for folks to protect themselves. And your remarks on the governor's speech today, I appreciate your time this evening.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. Senator Arlen Meekhoff of West Olive, Republican Senator, will be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.